Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I am Bethany, your milkmaid, braid wearing, panicking about my life, in just a mood, friend.
I love your milk braid.
Thanks.
Turning me on. And I'm Kathleen, your instant pot cooking Goop Lab obsessed. I got screwed by Whole Foods, friend.
Oh, no. And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us, of course. This week, Kathleen, what are we talking about, my friend?
I'm talking about a struggle that I've been going through, something that I have been thinking about talking about on this podcast for a very long time. So here's a little bit of a PSA. Bethany and I will be talking about mental health and eating disorders today. So if you are triggered by that, maybe you want to maybe sit this one out.
Yes. Or we'll also give you a heads up when it's coming.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know kind of how long that segment is. So if it's something that you don't want to listen to, you can just boop up forward.
Skip ahead. Yep. Don't skip this one out. Yeah, just skip ahead. And my personal journey that I think if I share, I might help someone else. So that's the whole point of this life, right?
Yeah, totally.
Bethany, what's on your plate this week?
A little bit lighter fare. I am talking about this amazing book that I found.
You? A book? Never.
I know, right? So over the weekend, Dennis and I went to the Strand bookstore and I brought him up to the rare book room, which he had never been in.
Yeah.
And it's the third floor and it's wonderful. And every year on my birthday, I go to the rare book room and I buy myself a book. And I didn't do it this year, so I made up for lost time. It's called The Dr. Q Book.
It's so beautiful. I mean, graphic design, like old school graphic design, when you didn't do it on a computer, when you did it by hand and I don't know. I don't even know how they did it.
I mean, I think it is. I think it's like pen and paper. So it was originally written in 1921.
Wow.
This book, this edition is from 1946, and it is a man who made his living as an illusionist in the 20s. He made millions of dollars in the 20s as an illusionist. And he shares his secrets in this book. This book is for fellow magicians.
You know, I would love to do like a deep dive, not on this podcast, but just like in general. People who made a lot of money like a very long time ago, did they invest wisely? And do their family members have to work today?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, this guy had three children. I think that they all probably need to work.
Yeah.
But he gives a lot of technical specs. He has like drawings in here of how to create different magical illusion instruments.
Yeah.
Because this is supposed to be an insider's book. But I am going to kind of pull the veil back on a few very classic magician tricks.
Amazing.
But then I'm also going to show you how people can do a mentalist performance, and all you need is a partner. And Kathleen, I'm going to make you a mentalist during the podcast today.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're going to be able to read someone's mind.
Mentalists are probably my favorite thing.
I also loved the show The Mentalist.
Yes.
With that terribly handsome curly-haired blonde man.
Oh, the one, yes, I know who you're
Simon
talking about.
Simon something or other.
The one from that Anne Hathaway movie, The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, he played like the guy.
He played the journalist
who
tried to sleep with her.
Yeah, bad guy.
He was kind of laissez-faire about Miranda Priestly losing her job as editor-in-chief. Can I tell you, I joined Grindr this week.
What? You're a straight lady. What?
I'll tell you why I joined Grindr.
It's not for you.
It was kind of fun. I was on there for just like half a day. I have a friend who's getting divorced, and I'm convinced that her husband is gay.
Okay.
And that's why he like asked for a divorce out of the blue.
And to be clear, you really don't have much evidence for this. This is the story you've told yourself in your head.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
is probably far more exciting than the true story, which is like they grew apart.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I joined Grindr to like go on and like look to see if he was there.
To try and find him.
Didn't find him.
Yeah.
Didn't find him, but Grindr's kind of fun.
Maybe he just didn't match with you.
I feel like I'm missing out by not being on the dating apps. Do you?
No. Mm. Well, first of all, again, that dating app, not for you.
Yeah. Well, not
I
for
mean,
me.
Not for you. What picture did you use?
I just like Googled a picture of a piece of pizza.
You always do that whenever you do this a lot where you pretend to be someone on an app and you use a piece of pizza.
I do.
How many people dinged you? I don't know how did they ding you?
I didn't get any dings.
Aww.
I was just like using the filter to like try and find my friend's husband. He's probably not gay.
I was on Tinder for, I think, I never remember how long. It was like I was on it. I hit create or whatever, made my account live, and I immediately got a ding, and I freaked out and closed the account. Because it was terrifying that it was that sudden and that quick.
And now you can pay for these apps to, like, have super swipes on Tinder and stuff like that. So if you really like somebody, you can be like, let them know that you really like them.
How's that different from a just, like, a swipe?
I think they get notified that it was a super swipe.
Don't swipe unless you mean it as a super swipe. This is my problem. Can we also talk about, I am in a mood today.
Okay.
I am at sixes and sevens.
I'm here for your mood.
I was getting ready today.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm showing you my inner arm. Don't look.
Did you get
look.
A tattoo? You're taking off your jacket.
What is this?
It looks like a tattoo.
No.
Is that on your skin?
It's mascara.
Oh, it's
mascara. I somehow got mascara on my inner arm. Don't look at it, but look at it. I was running late to my nutritionist, and I see my nutritionist this morning. She was running late, so I didn't feel so bad. And then the entire time, I was just like so negative the whole appointment, and I don't know why I'm in such a foul mood.
But in a funk.
I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and I think it's because I was working all day yesterday and didn't really leave my house, and so I didn't really get much movement, and so I didn't really get much good energy vibes going into my brain. So I'm just in a place today.
It sounds like you need a dick appointment.
I need a prescription for more dick.
You know what? That is, I just want.
Which is so not a thing I've ever said.
I just wanted an excuse to say dick appointment. Because on Grindr, like, a lot of people write dick appointments in their profiles. And I've never had a dick appointment in my life.
Like, how is it used if I were to use the phrase dick appointment? How do they use it on Grindr?
I think dick appointment is like something that you have with someone you're not in a relationship with, kind of like a friends with benefits type thing.
So like they'll say like, hey, my name is Charles and I'm looking for a dick appointment.
I'm just looking for dick appointments.
Gotcha. Like, I have an opening at 3 for a dick appointment.
I have never been at that place in my life.
Where you could take appointments.
And I think it's because when I actually was starting to have sex, I was very nervous when sex was like a thing on the table for me.
Oh yeah, no, I hated it.
I can remember like the first couple of times I did it shaking.
Oh honey.
Because I was just like so nervous, and it's hard to be vulnerable like that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until much later that I like felt empowered. But then by that time I was already, you know, with my then boyfriend, now husband.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm very lucky that I lost my virginity to someone who was losing his virginity to me. So we were like on the same page.
Yeah.
But there was like this guy, I don't know if I've talked about it before or not on the podcast. When I was in college and I still was a virgin, I was at a theater house party, and those parties get wild because it's a bunch of people who were really not popular in high school, and now there's a whole bunch of them, and now you fuck.
I know you.
And I didn't want to.
Yeah.
You know, and so, there was a guy I just wrapped a show with. His name was Jesse. He was very cute.
That's it's a
hot boy name.
It's also a hot girl name.
Yeah, it's a hot name in general.
Yeah.
And we were finally, like, we sort of had chemistry the whole time. We were finally making out after the show wrapped, and we were in the bathroom making out. And Jesse was like, do you want to kind of, like, fool around? And I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, okay. And to me, that was like, okay, cool. And we just kept making out. But looking back, that is not what happens in, I would say, a lot of those situations.
99.9% of those situations.
So I've always been very, very grateful to Jesse.
Yeah.
And now here's my question to you, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be weird for me,
mm-hmm,
as a woman in a relationship,
okay,
who doesn't have any overtures and just wants to say thank you, to reach out to Jesse and be like, by the way, this happened and I just wanted to say thanks? Is that a weird thing to reach out? And I wouldn't say it like that, but is that weird? I just feel like people should know when they do things right.
You know, I think it would be, you got to stalk him a little bit first.
Yeah.
You got to look him up on Facebook. You got to kind of like see where he is in his life.
Yeah.
Feel around if he's like turned into a bro-ish type dude.
Oh, fair.
Even though it's kind of not likely. And I don't think it would be weird, because remember when sometime this summer, I was talking about how I had a friend who reached out to me because I got him to join the cheer squad in high school. And he's like, because of you, now I have a career in cheerleading and I'm like a professional coach and stuff like that. And I think it's really sweet. I think that if you reach out to Jesse and was like, hey, I just want to tell you, I think about this all the time, and this might be weird, but we hooked up when we were in college and you were very sweet and you asked permission to go further. And I just want to tell you that that kindness was not lost on me.
Okay.
I don't think that would be weird at all.
Okay, right on. Because I didn't really realize at the time really how lucky that I was that he that he was respectful.
Yeah.
But he super was.
Speaking of getting real filthy, I went drinking with my book club this weekend.
Whoa, whoa. What was the book of the month, by the way?
So nobody ever actually reads the book. Only fair. I do. I've read The Farm.
Okay, right on.
Which was a really good book. I don't know the author, but it's been on like all the lists lately. Highly recommend.
Okay.
And I have one friend who her alter drunk ego is Cecile.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to reveal her real name, but Cecile came out this weekend.
Oh my God. What does Cecile do?
And Cecile got everyone in the group. We were all like pretty tipsy. Some of us were really wasted talking about, I don't even know what word I want to use to say this. Cunnilingus?
Oral sex.
Oral sex.
Oral sex.
That's right. That's the better word.
The big OS.
And she was like, you know what, ladies? You might feel dirty down there. You might have stopped your partners from doing that in the past. She's like, smoke a little pot. And just let it happen. Just let it happen. And you will be thankful that I had this conversation with you.
Does she introduce herself as Cecile when Cecile comes out?
No, we all just kind of go, oh, hey, Cecile.
Okay, gotcha.
And then it kind of like comes full circle because yesterday I was devouring the new Goop Lab on Netflix.
Yeah.
Bethany, it is so good. It is so good. The whole series. And they're short episodes. They're like 35 minutes. There's like five or six episodes. And there's this one insanely powerful episode about vaginas and vulvas and female pleasure and female orgasm. And it was just the most uplifting, female empowering thing I've seen in a very long time.
This leaves me conflicted because I don't love what Gwyneth Paltrow has like represented in the past.
Yes.
And things that she has purported are helpful, are actually dangerous,
yes,
et cetera, et cetera. Is she kind of rebranding with this, or is it still kind of the same, you know, take these powders and they're going to cure your cancer kind of vibe?
It's not. It's actually a lot like what we do on this podcast when we're discussing weird topics.
Okay.
It's sort of like to entertain and also inform.
Okay, right on.
And so I just, please do yourself a favor.
Okay.
Watch the vagina episode. And I say vagina, I like pause before I say vagina because female pleasure is not about the vagina. It's about the vulva.
The whole area.
The vulva.
Yeah.
And like the vulva's inner network. I learned so much. It's like the vulva is going to like, you know, the networking event and meeting other people.
Yeah. And getting to know, shaking some hands. Let your vulva shake hands with a new partner every day.
I'm just imagining a tiny little hand coming out of my vulva. Hello. Nice to meet you.
My name's Cecile. Kathleen.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about things that make us crazy anxious, and yours was going to the post office to mail things.
It just gives me the worst agita ever.
You've had something you needed to mail like 6 months ago, and you still haven't done it.
No, still haven't done it.
Yeah. And that made me think of our partner, ShipStation. ShipStation makes your life so much easier. If you're someone who sells stuff online, ShipStation lets you get your orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy.
And I feel like everybody has a side hustle these days.
Totally.
To ship stuff.
So no matter where you're selling, eBay or Etsy or Poshmark or Amazon, your own website, ShipStation brings all of your orders into one simple interface. So you can really easily manage everything from any device, even from your cell phone.
ShipStation works with all of the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customers. They even offer big discounts on shipping costs. So now any business can access the same postage discounts that are usually reserved for, you know, like the Fortune 500 companies, you'll always know that you're getting the best deal with ShipStation.
No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You're going to ship more in less time with the best rates available. So get started right now. Right now, our listeners can try ShipStation for free for 60 days when you use our offer code TASTE. There's no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering your credit card info.
Just visit ShipStation.com and click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TASTE, T-A-S-T-E.
That's ShipStation.com, then enter the offer code TASTE.
ShipStation.com, make ship happen.
So Kathleen,
yeah,
the Dr. Q book, Life and Mysteries of Dr. Q. So Once upon a time, this is true, there was a man named Claude Alexander Conlin.
Claude Alexander.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, he was born in 1880. He died in 1954. He was known as Alexander, the man who knows. And he was an American spiritual author. He was a vaudeville magician. He specialized in mentalism and psychic reading acts. When you think about a mentalist or a fortune teller, you think about, like, stereotypically someone wearing a turban, right?
Yeah,
with, like, a feather coming out of it.
And a crystal ball.
Yep, and, like, long flowing robes.
Yeah.
That was him.
Okay.
So he would wear very often a big turban because it hid wires in it. And the wires would help him hear his assistant who was giving him information about the audience or whatever illusion he was doing.
Interesting.
He was that guy with the turban that kind of everybody then bases their thing on.
So are you telling me that mentalists have help?
Yes.
When they do a show.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes. They have help via assistance.
Uh-huh.
He also has helps in the form of carbon paper. Like, if you don't know how an illusion is done and it involves someone knowing something or someone writing something down, at least according to this guy back in the day, carbon paper had so much to do with it.
I imagine that he had to work 10 times harder than illusionists today, because technology is so much better.
Yeah, yeah. And I have no idea how things are done today, but this guy did things back in, the height of his career was the 1920s. So he was so highly paid that he...
How much did he make?
He made millions of dollars over his lifetime.
Let's figure out how much that is today. 1 million.
So they say multiple millions. Let's say, like, to be safe, let's say $3 million.
All right.
In 1920.
Well, $1 million in the 20s has the same purchasing power between $12 and $14 million today.
Okay, so he made like $36 million, let's say.
Doing magic.
Doing illusions and mentalism. He would do it privately at people's homes for events. He would do it on stages. He would do it, like I said, in vaudeville. And he did it until he was 47. And then he...
Do you retire? Is it like the NFL where you just get too old?
I don't know if he lost interest or why he sort of stopped. But here's the crazy thing. And he even says this at the beginning of this book. He wasn't doing it as a way to come out against spiritualism. Because spiritualism was, you know, this belief that you could talk to the other side. And it had a lot to do with, like, World War One ending. And all of these parents had lost their children, their sons.
Yeah.
And I think the Spanish flu had hit, too. So there were a lot of deaths. So people were trying to reach over. He still believed that that stuff was real.
Yeah.
He was just saying that some mentalists are fake. And here's how they're doing it.
Do you believe in spiritualism?
I do believe there are people who can speak to the other side.
Yeah.
But I don't think the majority of people who do it are actually able to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you?
I do.
I watched a YouTube episode where they were talking about mentalism, and they did an interview with Penn and Teller because they're, you know, big in debunking and sort of saying, we know how this is done. We're not going to necessarily show you, but
yeah,
we're going to debunk it. And they don't believe it's real at all.
Yeah.
All of it is fake, say they. So whatever you believe, here's what the Dr. Q book says about a couple of things. And then I'm going to teach you, Kathleen.
How to cut myself in half.
How to be. Well, I can teach you that, too. But we need a box.
Mm-hmm.
How to be a mentalist.
Mm.
Okay.
I was at a show in Coney Island, like a freak show in Coney Island this summer, which is one of the most fun things that I've ever done in my whole life. And they did cut somebody in half.
Yeah.
And then they were like,
flexible.
You have to be very flexible. And then they were like, for $1, you can come up on stage and look into the top of the box and see how it's done.
Oh, nice.
Are you going to, like, reveal that as part of your thing?
Do you want to reveal it?
I don't want to ruin it for people.
Oh,
okay. I'm going to tell you. This is how they do it. The girl stretches. She's like insanely flexible, and she was essentially like her body was a zigzag inside of this box thing.
Yeah.
And it looked like she was cut in half. So it was her real feet on the other end.
Oh, really?
But it was her body just contorted in like an insane way within this like box contraption that it made it look like they separated her top half from her lower
half. So that's crazy. That's not how I've seen it described. I've also seen it where it's fake feet on the bottom, and the woman just is able to crouch in half and fit everything in the top.
Oh no, this was real feet, and her body was zigzagged, like her organs were smushed and squished.
That's amazing. You have to be so flexible to be in a magician's assistant.
Yes,
you have to be able to, because there's another illusion that it's like that, Kathleen, but the box is upside. And so she's standing. She steps into a box. She's looking at the audience. They close the door. And then he, like, puts a knife or a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like
a
sword. Yeah.
Like right under her boobs and then another one by her hips.
Yeah.
And that one is one where she's like zigzagged
yeah.
in the side of the box. Fascinating. Okay. So one of the things that he talks about is spiritualism. If you're doing a seance, if you're holding that kind of an event, the Fox sisters were really famous for making rapping noises, and they later came out saying that they were actually cracking their toes and their knuckles, but people thought that it was spirits from the other side making rapping noises.
Oh, ew.
Yeah, it's super gross. But this is what he says to do. He says that a lot of mediums, you're sitting, the lights are low, you're all sitting around a table.
Yeah.
It's very spooky.
And they're like pretending to read you.
Yep. And you're trying to reach out to someone from the other side. And the medium is like, I will, you know, you all put your hopes into me and I will contact the other side. You put your hands on the table, on a thin table, if you're the medium. And what you do is very firmly, you crack your thumbnails against each other.
Ooh.
And if you can do it hard enough on a table that is thin enough, it will be a hollow, echoey sound that if the people are in the right headspace, they will believe it.
They'll believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people who go to things like this, they're in the right headspace. Like,
yeah.
Very rarely, I think, do people show up to these things if they're serious doubters.
Right. Yeah, especially those like little ones in New York where it's like it fits one or two people max. You're not going to get a lot of skeptics who are going in there along with someone.
No.
But this is the thing I wanted to teach you about. I had never heard of this before. It is called the Zanzig Second Sight Act.
Zanzig.
Z-A-N-C-I-G.
You know what? That would be a great baby name for a hipster baby.
Zanzig. Little Zanzig can't come for playtime because he's going to a baby genius festival, music festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we have to milk our goat to make him purified goat milk water.
Little Zanzig's mother signed him up for baby woke classes. Okay. So explain to me exactly what Zanzig is.
Okay. So this act requires two or three people. So there's a woman in the act, and she's usually the medium or pretending to be the medium.
Okay.
She stays on stage, and she's blindfolded.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. She can look or not look. It doesn't matter.
And she's, like, in front of an audience or a handful of people, and she's like, okay, I'm going to read people in this audience.
Yes.
Does she have an assistant?
Yes.
Okay.
So one person is out roaming the audience, and then one person is on stage blindfolded.
Gotcha.
Here's what you need to do. The person wandering the audience is going to be getting questions. You both need to memorize a series of numbers and letters and a series of questions that relate back to specific numbers. So this takes about a weekend of memorizing.
So the two people putting on the act are signaling to each other.
Yes.
Huh.
So for example, here's a code that they give, but you would constantly be changing it up as an act in case people caught on to you. So the letter I stands for the number one.
Okay.
The word go stands for two.
Okay.
The word can stands for three. C stands for four. And stands for number five. Please stands for number six.
Huh.
And then will is seven, now is eight, give is nine, try is zero. And the word next means repeat the last number. Now, this is all super confusing. You would memorize it.
Oh, yeah.
So then he says that questions that audience members normally have usually are about the same things. They're about love. They're about marriage. They're about travel. They're about jobs. They're about health.
Yes.
So they have written up 99 questions that will usually pertain to anything an audience member asks. Every question has a number. You have to memorize this entire list. So the questions are things like number one, will I get my money soon? Number two, will I ever be rich? Number three, should I sign the papers?
Yeah.
Number four, where will I meet my husband? All the way to 99.
Yeah, questions that like people looking for answers in life would typically, like the type of people that would go to these shows.
Totally. So you and your assistant both memorize the number and letter correspondence.
Yes.
And then the number for each question.
Okay.
That means that you can walk through the audience and you can have anyone whisper a question in your ear. And the way that you ask your assistant the question tells her what the question is.
Oh, so the whole act is she, this woman's on stage blindfolded, mm-hmm. and you whisper your question to her assistant, and then she can just like magically know what question you're asking.
Exactly. It shows that, quote unquote, she is psychic. So for example, if someone is asking, how many children will I have?
Uh-huh.
You would say to your assistant, please, will you try to answer this lady's question? Please is 6.
Yeah.
Try is 0.
Uh-huh.
Which means that's question 60, which you've memorized, which is how many children will I have?
Oh, snap.
Okay, now.
Snap.
It's very complicated, but also very easy.
That's so 90s of me. Oh, snap.
Oh, snap. So now I'm going to play for you audio of a couple actually doing this at like a house party. And
this is insanely clever.
It blows my mind how quick they are. So this is a really old couple. They are Mardoni and Louise. This video is from 1986. So it's a little bit hard to hear.
Yeah.
But I'm going to play for you how fast they are.
Okay.
So you can hear. So in this situation, the man, Mardoni, is the one moving around the room.
Yeah.
And Louise is blindfolded and she's the one who's giving the answers.
Got it.
Okay. So I'm going to let it buffer for a second.
If any of you have any unusual articles, will you please get them out? And Louise will try to describe whatever you happen to have.
She's putting the blindfold on.
Now I'll start over here.
That's him.
Okay, that's Kelvin.
That's the watch.
Okay, how much Kelvin?
It's a necktie.
It's a necktie.
That is a bow tie.
Can you tell this now?
It's a case.
Why did you work for?
For glasses.
Can you tell the color of the case?
That's brown.
And what is this?
A bean.
So what he's doing is walking around the room and pointing to things and asking it for her to identify all of them.
Oh.
And as you listen, he is asking the question in such a strange way each time, and she's able to nail it. So clearly what they've done together is a list of like a bracelet, eyeglasses, necklace, ear, left ear, right ear, mouth, whatever.
In a way, and he asks it in a way that like signals her what it is.
Yep.
On the third finger of the left hand.
All right, what's it made of?
It's gold.
Okay, that's right. Now this.
That is a watch.
Can you see this?
It is a card.
How much still is Elvis' name? My head.
That is the name Al.
What piece still is initial?
P.
And the name?
Peller.
Peller, all right.
Did you catch how he said, now please, what is the initial? They may have decided that if he says please, it's the letter P, because she says then the letter P. So it's a little hard to hear, but you can hear the way he's asking the questions is very weird each time.
You know, this, you could essentially use this method to commit crimes.
Oh, yes. How?
Like,
because you're right.
Think about, I don't know, trying to trick like the FBI or I'm trying to think of a specific instance. I have the mind of a criminal, but I'm not yet a criminal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're
not a girl, not yet a woman.
Yes, exactly.
I think that you could probably do it if you were trying to do coded language within, like during a prison phone call or during a call. Now, the problem is that this is a very famous way of doing this illusion. So anyone who knows about code breaking is probably able to pretty quickly figure out what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you're just kind of doing it in day-to-day life with someone who's also learned this and you also have memorized the same thing, it's amazing and
like,
super secret.
If you think someone's listening to your conversations,
yeah.
Like, say, I bet the mafia used tricks like this.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know,
I'm
like
sure.
The canole and the whatever, but it really means like dump Tony's body in the river.
I think it's really fascinating and I love it. So now,
you
Kathleen,
could cheat on a test like this.
You could fully cheat. If you're allowed to talk during it, you could.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kathleen.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to make you an illusionist.
Oh, I'm so ready.
So I'm going to give you this book.
Okay.
I'm going to turn to the pages where the clues are.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have our engineer, Rachel, come in.
Got it. Oh, I love
and
Rachel.
We're going to do this. Yeah. Rachel's the coolest person we know. Okay. Hello, Rachel. Okay. Come on over. Come on over, baby. Come on over. Okay.
The coolest girl in the world enters the room.
So, Kathleen.
Yes.
I need you to take your headphones off.
Really?
Yep. And I need you to leave the room because I need our listeners to know that you have not heard the question that Rachel is about to ask.
Should Rachel sit in my seat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Go. Okay. Kathleen is gone. Rachel, you don't have any, like, dog in this race, so can you confirm Kathleen left?
Kathleen has left. the studio.
Okay.
I can't even see her outside the door.
Rachel, is there anything about life that you have a question about? Do you have any unfinished business or concerns coming up? Just anything that you would like Kathleen, who is telepathic, to answer for you?
Oh, good question.
Mm-hmm. Anything at all?
Anything about the world?
Anything.
Should it be science-y or should it be like existential or should it just be pretty like down to earth?
Pretty down to earth, like a personal question maybe?
Personal question. A yes or no answer?
Sure.
Okay. Will I be able to find a good affordable apartment in Brooklyn when I have to move soon?
Okay. You can bring Kathleen back in.
Come in.
All right, Kathleen.
I feel like you guys are having a party.
Okay, hold on.
I'm scared a little bit.
Don't be scared.
I'm scared of my own powers.
Kathleen, using this book.
Yes.
Because we have not yet memorized.
Uh-huh.
Using this book.
Okay, Bethany's handing the book over to me. All right. I've got it Kathleen, in front of me. Yeah.
Please, I ask you to answer this woman's question. Please, I ask you to answer this woman's question.
Okay, so now I need to, okay. This woman's question is, so Rachel's question, will I get a letter soon?
Nope, go back to the other page.
Will I get my money soon?
No.
Okay, wait, hang on.
Please.
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 Will.
Nope, please.
Yes.
I.
Okay.
Ask you to answer Rachel's question.
Please. Oh, okay, I get it. Shall I renew my lease? Are you thinking about moving?
Oh, Kathleen, you're a mentalist.
I got it.
Rachel, I bet you have no idea how that was done.
No idea.
No idea whatsoever.
Magic book.
Thank you.
Wait, whisper another question into Bethany's ear.
Whisper another question into my ear. Here, Kathleen, take your headphones off. Leave, Kathleen, leave or talk. Okay, whisper any question you want into the microphone.
When will the subway be fixed?
Oh, God damn it. Okay, hold on. Rachel is very specific, but it's okay.
You mean to give you the book back?
Nope. It's okay. I have memorized it.
I legitimately did not hear anything, and the back of my earring that now has punctured my head can attest to that. I was really squeezing my eardrums. Rachel thinks we're crazy. This is genius. I can read your mind, Rachel. Did you know that?
Kathleen.
Yes.
See, will you answer this woman's question?
I will, Bethany, as soon as I turn this page.
Uh-huh.
And this woman's question is...
Well, don't repeat the question. Just give her an answer.
Yes, your troubles will soon be over.
Yes. Do you have one more question you want to ask?
I'm going to take my headphones off.
Will I get married to my current partner?
Ooh, good. Good question.
Can I come Probably up yet?
Yes.
Yes. All right, I'm back.
Yes.
I'm ready to answer Rachel's question because I can read her mind. But first, you need to ask me to answer her question.
Yes. I have to figure there's like two. Kathleen.
Yes.
Go answer that question.
All right, I will. As soon as I turn this page. Yes, Rachel, you will be very wealthy.
Nope.
Shit.
Nope.
All right, hang on.
Go answer the question, Kathleen. Go do it. Go.
Go. Okay. All right.
Go.
Sorry that I was reading somebody else. Someone else was coming through.
The energy is very strong in Audio Boom NYC.
There's a lot of people here.
A lot of people are worried about money.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yes, Rachel, your sweetheart is true to you.
Yes.
Your partner has never cheated.
And then you'll be married.
Okay.
Oh my God, I can read minds.
You're so good.
Gentle listener, Rachel's question was, what did you whisper into the, you're in on it, the listener's in on it, I'm not in on it.
Her question was actually, am I going to marry the person that I'm currently with?
Ah.
But we, as mentalists, never really came up with a will I marry the person I'm with question.
Oh.
So then you kind of have to go to the closest one that there is.
Yes.
And hope that, you know, both parties are sort of being general.
And so on the list, that was question number 22, is my sweetheart true to me?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I got tripped up before, because the word go is two.
Yeah.
But I didn't pick up on you saying go.
So then what I also could have done is said go. Next answer Rachel's question, because next also means repeat the last figure. So that's what I only had done.
Rachel, can we be bridesmaids?
Sure.
Yay! Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you, Rachel.
I am awed by your mental stability.
So good.
This is an amazing party trick.
Isn't that fun?
Like if you have a roommate or best friend or a significant other that's into this stuff too, I would start practicing this stuff at home.
Yeah.
And like do the trick with everybody.
Come up with your own code that has to do with like your group of friends. And so it can be any questions. It doesn't have to be the ones, because some of these are like a little racist.
Yeah.
Like one of the questions that they memorized is, should I marry the light one or the dark one?
Oh, what? Which is like, get out of here.
It was the 20s. And like, who wrote that insulting letter?
I guess now it would be like email.
Yeah. Will an operation be necessary?
Actually, a lot of these are applicable to
number 43. Who poisoned my dog?
Oh,
like some of these you probably don't need.
Yeah.
But some of them are really general. Will my trouble soon be over?
Yeah.
Does he ever see her anymore? Is 57. Should I sell my farm?
Should I sell my farm? Should I sell my stocks in Uber? Maybe that would translate. Yeah.
Will Bitcoin continue?
Oh, but yeah. Bitcoin is a thing.
Yeah.
Still. That's good. Really fun.
Kathleen, okay. I know that you and I want to like do live shows again at some point.
Yes.
We should like do a mentalism routine.
Bethany, you are absolutely reading my mind right now because I'm kind of freaked out. I think because you're talking about this, maybe you're tapping into that like third eyeball type thing. Because on the train on the way here, I made a list. Do live shows. Pick four cities, four small venues. Where should we do them? And then my note to myself was like, poll the listeners. And then I was like, Bethany and I should actually like write a show.
Do a thing.
Instead of like, it would be like a show / podcast. Like we record the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I wrote to myself, figure out how to record a podcast live. You know what?
Let's do it.
We're mentalists now. We are.
You are what you say you are. Kathleen.
Yes.
I just had my eye doctor appointment. Remember the one where I asked if I could wear an eye patch and she said no?
Yeah.
So, you know, they just need a little tweaking.
So you need some glasses?
I got some glasses.
Did you get them from Warby Parker?
I did. Here they are. My new glasses.
They're like very thin gold wire round frames.
Yeah, everything's much clearer now.
Warby Parker is my favorite line of glasses. I've been buying them since 2014, which is why I was so excited when they became a partner of this podcast.
Yes.
All you have to do is go on the website, take their quiz, answer a few questions, and then they send glasses, like without prescriptions, to your house. You get to try them on, and then when you decide what you want, you send them all back, and you let them know which style you like, and then they make your glasses for you, and send them to your house at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah.
Warby Parker is actually affordable with glasses starting at $95, including prescription lenses. And lenses include anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings. And that free home try-on program that I just talked about.
Yeah.
You get 5 pairs of glasses, try them on for free for 5 days. No obligation to buy. Ships free, includes a prepaid return shipping label. If you want to try on Warby Parker glasses from the comfort of your own home, all you have to do is go to warbyparker.com/taste.
Take that quiz, order your free home try-on. Plus, they have Scout by Warby Parker, which is comfortable, breathable, affordable daily contact lenses.
Yes.
Made from a really nice moist material so your eyes aren't getting as dry as regular contacts. You can order a trial pack that includes 6 days worth of contacts for only $5 and then receive $5 off your next Warby Parker order. There's more at warbyparker.com/taste.
Warbyparker.com/taste.
Kathleen, what level are you on Best Fiends?
145.
I'm on 141. I thought I was ahead of you.
Oh my God. No way.
Okay. Here's when I play Best Fiends. You've played these games before. It's like a color matching game, but there's also all of these little characters that you're trying to collect and make stronger and like foster. So I do it whenever I'm nervous about something and I know it's not going to be good for me to sit and ruminate on that thing. I play Best Fiends instead, and it's a great way to keep my brain occupied.
Yes.
And apparently I've been really stressed because I'm on level 141.
This is my favorite phone puzzle game of all time. And when I'm mindlessly scrolling through, I don't know, else in like other picture apps or whatever. With Best Fiends, I feel like I'm actually giving my brain like a little bit of a workout.
Totally, because it's a puzzle game.
Yes.
But it's casual. You don't have to be playing it constantly. You can pop in and then pop back out again, and it's going to be there waiting for you.
And it's not stressful. Sometimes phone games, they like really stress me out. Best Fiends kind of just lets me like sit there and relax.
Yeah. And also, look, if you're traveling and you know you're not going to have internet, that's great because you don't need the internet to play. You can play on the plane or the subway, underground. If you're a miner, you can play it as you're mining underground because they don't got Wi-Fi in that mine shaft. So engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. There's one named Dennis.
Yes, there is. And I think of your boyfriend every time I...
I took a screenshot. I sent it to him. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play.
Download Best Fiends today for free on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Hey, taste buds.
What's up? What's up?
What we're about to talk about right now might be an issue that is triggering for some.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about mental health. We're going to be talking about eating disorders and some of the nitty gritty when you kind of hit rock bottom with eating disorders. So if that is something that you don't want to listen to right now, I would say the segment's about 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
So just pop forward about 30 minutes and we will see you in segment 4.
And if you're going to stick around for the ride, taste buds, here's my story. La, 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 la. So I'm like feeling kind of good about this conversation right now.
Yeah.
And not sort of teary like I expected myself to feel.
Because we chatted about it a little bit beforehand and you were a little teary, but it's, I think, a really good thing.
Yes.
And very important.
Very important.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
And this is kind of a crazy thing to say out loud on a podcast. I am a recovering bulimic. I suffered from active bulimia for 20 years.
Mm.
And I'm sharing this because I want to share my journey with our listeners about how I hit rock bottom and finally asked for help.
So when you say like active bulimia, you were binging and purging daily?
Yes.
Okay.
Every other day. Sometimes I would have good weeks and I go a week without doing it. And it started when I was 13. And I kind of looked down on myself because of this.
Why?
I'm just like a vapid girl who like only cares about what she looks like. And it wasn't until I got the courage to reach out for help that I realized there were much deeper, more complicated issues than me just wanting to look like a waify 90s girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bringing this up now because as I've been talking about this entire podcast, I'm so obsessed with the Goop Lab stuff on Netflix. And one of the Goop Lab editors in one of the episodes said, I think it was the episode about microdosing, which I think is the first one. And if you don't know what microdosing is, it's like when you take very controlled amounts of a psychedelic, like mushrooms.
And I've heard of it once before. And it had been a couple years ago, maybe a year ago. I know very little about it, but we were talking about it beforehand.
Yes. And one of the Goop editors said something along the lines of, if society just taught you that it was okay to be vulnerable, we wouldn't be doing this right now.
Mm.
And so if I can help anybody else, any of our taste buds, anyone listening to this, anybody who has a friend who is struggling, who says, hey, just listen to this one episode, I think I'm ready finally in my recovery to be that vulnerable. I had no intentions of quitting bulimia, like basically ever, until I thought about becoming a mother. Because it was my comfort blanket. Like it was my constant, the thing that was always there to like keep me company. Mm-hmm. And when I thought about becoming a mother, I thought, well, this is crazy. Like, how can you put another life in your body and expect that life to grow and thrive when you are doing something so awful to yourself basically every day. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to stop. And I thought that I could do it on my own mm-hmm. because I had never told a single soul.
Not even your husband.
Not even my husband. Not even my husband. And as I was trying to stop throwing up, because I didn't, and I didn't much like a drug addict goes for another hit. Mm. Because for me, my bulimia was similar to that of a cutter. When I couldn't control my life, the one thing I could control was what I expelled from my body. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And I did try to quit for a little bit in high school, and I started cutting. Mm. And then I went back to the bulimia because it was like, I missed it too much. It was like, it was a drug for me.
It's that is one thing that I think that people who don't have eating disorders or addiction issues fully understand is that it feels like your best friend.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And it's like your best friend who keeps you skinny.
Yes.
Until she stops keeping you skinny.
Exactly. Until like in the height of my disease where I couldn't physically throw up as much as I was eating, and then the weight started to come. And then there's stuff that, you know, in bulimia specifically, your face is puffy and the blood vessels in your eyes are broken. And then I started having jaw issues, like lockjaw issues. and it's all of this other stuff that, like, in the sore throats that, you know, that you don't really hear so much about, like in Lifetime movies and stuff like that.
Yep.
And the stuff that affects you, you know, like you wake up and your throat is raw from the night before, and now you're supposed to go about your day like totally normal. It just doesn't happen.
You feel hungover.
Mm-hmm. And so this was when anything in my life was out of control. This was the one thing that I had control of. And the pain felt so good. Sure, I would have moments where I was on top of the toilet, you know, essentially waiting for that wrench in the bottom of my stomach to like let me know that all of the food is gone.
Yeah.
It was a hit. That wrench, that muscle, that empty stomach muscle, trying to get it to expel more when that was my drug.
And was it like you knew you had succeeded?
Yes. I was good.
Yeah.
No dinner in my stomach.
Yeah.
Less calories for the day. I mean, I think for me, it was less about the weight and more about that hit. It was more about that hit. And I miss that hit like a drug addict misses their drug of choice. And so I knew I needed to ask for help when I had for a while stopped throwing up. But I was still punishing my body with food by consuming massive, massive amounts of food. And then the weight started to come on. Mm-hmm. And then the negative thoughts start circulating, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you're worthless. You're ugly. You're fat. And that went on for almost a whole year before I ever even still told anyone. And this was my breaking point, because I want our listeners, if you are struggling right now, it doesn't matter with what it is. If you are struggling with a mental health issue, I beg you to not reach your breaking point.
Yeah.
Because my breaking point was I was in the shower one day and life was just, it was sucking. And I was trying not to throw up, but I was still putting on all this weight. I was losing control of the one thing that I had control of before.
Yeah.
And I was in the shower and I was just like, life would be so much easier right now if it were just over. And I'm not suicidal. I've never been suicidal, but that doesn't mean that you don't ever have suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have a thought knowing that you'll never go through with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you're just tired.
You're tired and you need help.
Mm-hmm.
And so telling my husband the truth. I told Bethany, I told you. Mm-hmm. This is probably about a year and a half ago.
This is recent. This is not something that has been going on for very long. We've only been talking about it. Yeah, you and me, for like a year, year and a half.
And I felt safe telling you because I knew that you would understand because you've been through your own struggles.
Mm-hmm. I've talked on the podcast before and I've mentioned on social media that I also, you know, had bulimia for about half of my life.
Yeah.
And only recently have been able to get a handle on it. So everything you're saying is very familiar.
See, I didn't realize that you had, I didn't realize that you were bulimic too. I thought you would just, you were a restrictor.
I was everything.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, different phases of my life.
Yeah.
But when you knew me, when you first met me and for mm-hmm. years after, I was heavily bulimic.
And so, it sucks.
Mm-hmm, it's awful. And the older you get, the less your body can handle it. It is. It's that physical pain. It's the sore throat.
Yeah.
It's coming into work where it looks like your eyes exploded.
Yep.
And you make up a story.
Yeah.
About, oh, I got so drunk last night.
Yeah.
And I fell.
Yeah.
And really, it's you threw up so hard that you popped all the blood vessels in
your eyes.
Yeah.
And telling you was easier than telling my husband because I would always joke with him, oh, I have a secret that you'll never know. And it was this.
Mm.
And for
what
years,
what would he say to that?
And he'd be like, "No, you don't. You absolutely do not. You don't have a secret. You can't keep a secret." And there was one that I could keep, and it was this. And when I told him, it was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do to date, because this man who I had been with for, you know, at that time 13 years, there was this huge, essentially, other component of my being that he had no idea about. And I knew right away that he was going to beat himself up for,
oh man,
for not. And I never really thought about it from his perspective. And for a long time, I was really confused about his reaction because I told him, and saying it out loud was like the first piece to my puzzle in terms of asking for help. He was angry with me. Mm-hmm. He felt like there was something I was keeping from him. And I didn't understand until much, much later when I started finally going to therapy. Months. I mean, after I told him, I told you, I told a handful of my very closest friends. And some of my friends were like, oh, yeah, okay, I knew.
Oh, wow.
Or they knew that there was something going on.
Yeah, yeah.
My husband was angry at me because after I told him, I didn't seek professional help right away.
Okay.
Because saying it out loud and sort of letting it marinate was just how it needed to happen for me. And I was having a conversation with my therapist this summer, and I was like, you know, I keep going back to this fact where a couple of weeks after I had told my husband the truth about kind of what was going on with me, he was so angry at me. And I'm like, how can you be angry at me? Like, and he said, I don't see enough emotion from you on this.
Oh, wow.
Because the bulimia for me for 20 years up until that point had been entirely internalized. So what was going on inside of my head, I wasn't crying. I wasn't screaming. I wasn't pouting because it had only ever been in my head.
It was all repressed, all of that feeling?
Yeah, exactly. And my therapist said, you can't be angry at him for getting mad at you because it is no different than a gambling addiction.
Mm.
And how would you react if you found out that your significant other had a gambling addiction? It's an addiction.
And had been hiding it.
And had been hiding it.
That makes total sense.
It wasn't until I went to therapy, it wasn't until I went to a nutritionist that I actually was like able to get the help and understand why I was doing what I was doing. And it never occurred to me, but like a lot of what I was doing circle back to childhood trauma.
Yeah.
And I never, ever, ever, without getting professional help, would have put together those pieces. And so figuring out why something happens, I feel like, is a major part of the healing process. But, you know, Bethany and I, a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about Jillian Michaels.
Yeah.
And how she had no right to make comments about Lizzo's body.
Yes.
And we got a little bit of pushback on that. Like, you know, obesity is like a thing. It's not good.
Of course.
And I'm not saying that. Like, it's okay to want to change your body. Mm-hmm. It's just not okay to comment on someone else's body.
And I think a lot of people heard our point. And I think a lot of people heard where we were coming from. But the people who were pushing back, yes, we understand. Obesity absolutely can lead to health complications.
Yeah.
Our point was that it's not Jillian Michaels' business to be talking about another woman's body. It's not anyone's business to be talking about anyone else's body.
Yeah.
Unless you are that person's doctor.
Yeah.
Because we have such a history of commenting and shaming women and men.
And men.
On how they look.
Yeah.
Which then leads to eating disorders.
Of course.
Which leads to
low self-esteem. And I think it's sort of a misconception. A lot of people are like, the body positivity movement is like telling people that they're allowed to be fat and they're allowed to like not take care of themselves, which is absolutely not the truth.
Right. Exactly.
Like, my understanding of the body positivity movement is that you're allowed to be kinder to yourself.
Exactly.
And it's okay to want to change your body, and it's okay to be vocal about wanting to change your body. But now in this new era, you need to do that with kindness.
Exactly.
And you need to do that with public responsibility if you're sharing your journey on social media.
I also think with things like this kind of negative feedback, by and large, the people who I hear saying, body positivity means you get to be fat, or, you know, being too PC means we're trying so hard to not offend anyone. I think the people who say that are people who are in the class of people who are a bit more privileged. So, like,
yeah,
I've usually people who aren't worried about being inclusive are people who are already included.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. And it makes me hate. It makes me hate the word snowflake when people like that use it.
Mm-hmm.
Because all you have to do is spend an extra 2 seconds just rephrasing whatever you were going to say.
Yep.
So somebody who has been excluded or pushed down their entire lives feel like maybe they're a part of the club.
Yeah, it's really not that hard to try and rethink things.
And so actually seeking help for my bulimia and talking about why I felt the way I did and why I threw up and binged and purged for so many years has really put a new spin on, you know, the body positive movement for me.
Yeah.
And how I tied my self-worth and what I was deserving of to how my body looked. And like, how many taste buds out there feel like they don't deserve that promotion, or they don't deserve love, they don't deserve a respectful sex life, mm-hmm. you know, respectful and exciting sex life because of the way that their body looks?
Or that their life will start when their body looks a certain way.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think so many of us do it. Even people who don't have disordered eating, people who you know, are just... they're trying to lose 5 pounds or whatever.
Yeah.
There is so much emphasis tied to what your weight is.
Yes. And how you look.
Yeah. And it's hard to get out of it. And it's tough.
I screenshot this thing on Instagram the other day. If this is something that interests you and you aren't yet subscribed to this hashtag on Instagram, I recommend that you do so immediately.
Is it just the hashtag and then the peach?
Yeah.
Emoji?
Yeah. No.
Hashtag Deus.
It's hashtag I weigh.
Oh, Jamila Jamil.
The Jamila Jamil hashtag.
Her. Yeah.
And her account is at @I_weigh.
Mm-hmm.
This was posted by an account called @TheWellful. And it says, your weight, what you ate this weekend, your exercise routine, how your pants fit today, a body comment from someone, your body image this morning, a recent mistake. These things do not equal your worth.
Yes, it's so true.
And so I've been like open about my journey gaining weight this, you know, this past year and a half, and how I never said, you know, why specifically I was gaining weight. I was like, oh, I just, you know, gained some weight and this is what I'm going through. I was gaining weight because I was teaching myself not to like throw up and just have food when I wanted food and stuff like that. And and now in this point in my recovery, I've come to like the realization that being in recovery doesn't give me the option to eat irresponsibly.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it sucks.
That was kind of fun in the beginning. Fuck it, I'm just going to eat whatever the fuck I want. That was like part of learning to like be okay with food again. Learning to be okay with that full feeling again, which is like feeling full was something that triggered me for so long. And so now I want to be open with our taste buds about my journey and that, yes, I want to change my body. Yes, I have struggled in the past. No, I will not perpetuate fad diets. And yes, I want to like share where I am in my journey because I want to feel good about myself again, but I no longer link my self-worth and the pleasure that I think that I don't earn pleasure anymore. Like every human being out there deserves joy, deserves pleasure, and it has nothing to do with what your weight is or what you put in your body that day.
I think it's so important what you just said. I don't earn pleasure.
Yeah.
I don't earn joy. And yes, you are born deserving.
Yes.
And whether you get it or not, that has a lot of external factors, but every single person deserves it, even you. And the fact that you are able to come to this place is evidence of a lot of work because it is a fucking struggle. And being able to say that you are not your body is not an easy thing to come to.
Like, thank you.
That's a mountain that you have climbed.
And I think a lot of people, it's hard for whatever it is that you're struggling with in your life. It's hard to ask for help because you think you're a failure. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, I rode that train for so many years thinking, how could I ever tell anybody about this demon inside of me? Because I felt that it would erase all of my other successes because this one incredibly fundamental part of me was broken. But asking for help is not a weakness. And it took me a long time to realize that actually asking for help takes a tremendous amount of courage. I can't believe I made it through this whole conversation. It takes an immense amount of courage to ask for help. And so, taste buds, please, if whatever is going on in your life, if there's nothing going on in your life, oh my God.
Yay for you, friend.
Bless up. Yeah. It is a day. But
or
like,
you are very much not paying attention to what is falling apart around you. You are repressing.
I am just asking that you don't wait until there's a crisis.
Yes.
Like I had a crisis. That crisis, there are a lot of details of that crisis that I did not go into in this podcast, but I had a rock bottom point at work and I was so low and I don't want anyone else to have to reach that point. If you need help right now with anything, you are strong and you are brave and you have the courage to ask for it.
Think about it in terms of asking for help. I think about it this way.
Yeah.
When Steve Jobs was at the height of Apple and coming out with these new products.
Yeah.
He wasn't also doing bookkeeping for Apple.
No.
He wasn't also in charge of hiring, like, you know, temps.
No.
Everybody needs help.
Yes.
Whether it is for your business or for your brain
or
for your health. No one can do it all. You deserve to get help. And Kathleen, I'm so proud of you that this is a place that you've come to because
thank you.
There was a time when you really couldn't even say the word bulimia.
Uh-uh. And I feel like a little bit of a failure.
Why is
saying
that?
It out loud? I think that there's always going to be a certain amount of shame, or at least maybe one day there won't be. But like right now, at least I can recognize the shame. and tell myself, this is not how you feel anymore and this is not how you think anymore?
And is it just shame that you feel like you should be smarter than an eating disorder, or that you should be stronger than an eating disorder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or that I let it control such a large part of my life for so long.
Yeah, because such a large part of your life was uncontrollable.
Yeah.
So yeah. It makes sense.
And God damn it, therapy is the absolute best thing. And I said something so stupid to my husband the other day. I said, I think I'm going to get a new therapist. I just want a therapist that doesn't know everything about me already. And he's like, what are you talking about? What holy hell?
That's when it gets good.
I know. So I stopped going to therapy for a little bit. And then recently it was like, hello, you need to jump back on that bandwagon. So taste buds, we're here for you and we understand. And if you need help, there's help out there for you.
I know some people say, you know, we talk so much about therapy and not everyone can afford therapy, which is true. There are also resources out there for therapy on a sliding scale, therapy, you know, we've talked about like Talkspace,
yes.
Therapy on your
phone. It's an app. Talkspace is a mm-hmm. website and an app, and it's like a fraction of the cost of regular therapy. But you know what? A lot of therapists now take insurance, and insurance issues freaking suck.
They're awful.
And it's, you know, it's reflective of the problems with healthcare in this country. Just call your insurance company if you're lucky enough to have insurance, and they will be able to direct you to somebody.
And if you don't have insurance, there are still options for you. So we'll put some links in the show notes that if you're looking for mental health support, some places that you can start at least to click through some links and see if there's something like this. Just a quick search shows that a lot of cities, if you dial 211, they have like directories of services that can help you.
Yeah.
You know, that's three numbers. Three is easier to dial than seven.
And I know sometimes too, there are self therapy groups. Like, you know, if you can't afford just one-on-one, you can join a group. And sometimes that's really helpful too.
Oh yeah. Group therapy is the best, dude.
I've never been to group therapy before.
I have. It's scary. And then all of a sudden it's so helpful because you feel not alone.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden someone is saying something that you've always thought in your deepest, darkest heart, you are the only one who felt that way. And all of a sudden they're saying it. Or you realize that you're not as bad as you thought because someone's life is way worse.
You're like, whoa, you're a little more fucked up.
It balances out.
But thank you for listening to this, Bethany. And thank you, Taste Buds, for letting me speak my truth today.
I'm so proud of you. I love you, Kathleen.
I love you more.
Kathleen,
yes.
We are all overbooked, overstimulated. We are constantly running on empty. And for me, I'm always rushing to, you know, get some editing done and then go to an appointment. And then I barely have enough time to eat complete meals, let alone ones that are actually healthy.
But being busy doesn't mean that you have to resort to takeout or overly processed foods. And that is why Bethany and I are obsessed with Daily Harvest.
They deliver the food that you want to eat, but that you don't have time to make. And they bring it right to your door.
I first heard of Daily Harvest when they were promoting their like smoothies to go.
Yeah.
You know, the fruit comes frozen in the cup. You dump it in the blender, add your almond milk, and then blend. And you have this amazing smoothie to take with you to work or wherever you're going. Daily Harvest makes it so easy to eat more fruits and vegetables with thoughtfully sourced, chef-crafted foods that can be prepared in less than 5 minutes.
They work directly with farms. So they're harvesting organic fruits and vegetables at their peak. And then, like Kathleen said, freezing them within 24 hours to lock in their nutrients. Everything stays fresh until you're ready to enjoy it. And it's not just smoothies now. They have hearty soups, they have harvest bowls, they have overnight oats.
All in these amazing to-go cups in your freezer. Everybody's got 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes.
And each recipe takes one step. And that's the kind of cooking that I want to do. Add your favorite milk to blend or add, you know, hot water to a harvest bowl. Easy peasy. My favorite one is the cold brew and cacao smoothie because it's coffee, but it also has like some chocolate cacao chips. So there's like, you get a little crunch every once in a while. It's delicious.
Oh, hell yeah. Their harvest bowls are my favorite. The sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl. Holy
so
Moses.
Good.
And it was just like right there in my freezer for me. Whether you're at home or at your desk or on the go, Daily Harvest is the easiest way to have a delicious and nutritious meal or snack.
Go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code ACQUIRED to get $25 off of your first box.
That's promo code ACQUIRED, ACQUIRED for $25 off of your first box at dailyharvest.com.
One more time, that's dailyharvest.com, and then use the promo code ACQUIRED. Kathleen,
yeah.
What are you holding?
I've got some jokes for you.
Why?
I want to find the person who stole my toilet, but I have nothing to go on.
Where are these from?
This is from my daily cat calendar. What did the librarian say when the books were in a mess?
What?
We ought to be ashamed of our shelves.
I hate this.
Do you get it? You get it?
Yeah.
Hang on.
It's less funny if it has to be like, get it, get it.
For some, becoming a vegetarian is a huge missed steak. Two hats are hanging on a hat rack. One says to the other, you stay here. I'll go on ahead. I'll go on ahead.
No, I heard it.
You got it?
Yep. Those cats are cute, though. Something that you succeeded at, Kathleen, you reached out on our social media and asked people to tell us something that sounds fake but is in fact true.
Yes, I said, what were my exact words? This was on our official Acquired Taste Facebook page, not the fan group, but I stole the idea from the fan group, so.
We just take what you guys do and then make it content.
Yes.
These answers are so funny. So the phrasing was,
tell us something about yourself that is true but sounds 100% fake.
Y'all did not disappoint.
No.
I didn't know. So Kara Leah said, as a redhead, I have to sign a certain form every time I go under anesthesia, a redhead form, so to speak. It's because we react differently to anesthesia, fun fact. I had no idea.
Redheads react differently to anesthesia?
I had no idea.
What?
Now you know.
Oh, my God. Wanda said, I am descended from someone who was found guilty of being a witch during the Salem witch trials and was sentenced to death. The only reason they didn't kill her and why I am alive right now is because she was pregnant at the time of her sentencing with my great, great grandfather.
That seems nicer than they were. I'm surprised they let her live. Pardon the witches.
I don't know.
Sarah said, a Britney Spears backup dancer fell on me.
What?
She said, my friends and I had floor seats for her circus tour, and we got there crazy early so we could all be close to the stage as possible. The stage was a 3-ring circus. Oh, girl, I know. I was there.
Uh-huh.
So I guess they were used to more room. So when they were on our side of the stage, he did a backflip and then lost his balance when he landed, fell onto me and my friends. Everyone was okay. No one really seemed to notice except for the people right around us.
That
was crazy because there was one point too where they had people on stage to dance with her.
Was this the Vegas show?
No, this was her circus tour.
Oh.
This was like 2010, maybe?
A long time ago.
It was a while ago.
Speaking of the circus.
All eyes on you in the center of the ring, just like a circus.
All eyes on you in the center of the ring, just like a circus. Kimberly says, I grew up in a circus. My best friends were clowns, potbelly pigs, and an elephant named Sue.
Oh.
She went on to say, my mother worked for the circus. I was young. She didn't have a babysitter, so she took me to work all the time. The pigs, monkeys, and elephants were the circus owner's pets. They were my only friends back then. I had my part in the circus as well. There's always a childhood memory that comes back to you through smells, sounds, and visions. The circus is mine.
I'm so jealous. Yeah. By the way, her circus tour was 2009.
Ah.
Raven said, Jamie Kennedy tried to make out with me in a bathroom once.
Ah,
that's so Raven.
Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, small.
I haven't heard of this guy in a very long time.
I know.
Sharon wrote, I was angry with a teacher who told our class that we'd never amount to anything when we were in 10th grade, so I snuck X-Lax into his coffee without knowing.
Oh, no.
It was the meanest thing I'd ever done.
It's also a mean thing for a teacher to say.
I had a friend who worked at a pharmacy, and this guy she was dating was like, yo, give me some Oxy. And he wouldn't shut the freak up about it. So she gave him laxatives and told him it was Oxy.
Really?
Yep.
That's your story, not a listener story,
no,
right?
No, it's not. I didn't work in a pharmacy.
Alyssa said, my grandfather played in the NBA before they made money.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Why do I keep saying snap? And I just said it like an old-timey grandfather. Snap.
Are you wearing brown lipstick? Is it the 90s?
Caitlin said, one of my great uncles was considered the first serial killer in the United States.
What's his name?
The stories about this guy were crazy. His name was Herman Mudgett.
Wait, what?
M-U-D-G-E-T-T.
H.H. Holmes.
Is that...
Wait, how is she related?
Her great uncle.
is Herman Mudgett.
Yeah.
That's H.H. Holmes. That's the guy who made the serial killer castle.
No.
Shut up.
Oh, no. We've got a taste bud who has lineage to a serial killer.
Wait. He was like...
Dreams do come true.
He was like the serial killeriest of the serial killers. Like, this was during the World's Fair in Chicago. He built this entire castle, like a mansion, with rooms that were actually ovens, with secret passages that would dump bodies down through the floors, with like, this is serious.
While he confessed to 27 murders, only 9 could be plausibly confirmed, and several of the people he claimed to have murdered were still alive. So this guy was really nuts. That was just like from his Wikipedia page.
If you haven't read Devil in the White City, it's one of the best books I've ever read.
Oh, no wonder
so
you know.
Good.
No wonder you know so much about this guy. Eliza said, "Eliza. I worked in an erotic bakery during high school." It was a bakery that specialized in bachelorette and bachelor party baked goods and confections.
Lots of penis cookies, I'm guessing.
Being a 15-year-old and asking customers over the phone if they needed a penis cake, a biggie penis cake, or a super biggie penis cake, or a full male torso is definitely a fond memory. Then I would follow up with, "What color do you want the pubes to be?"
Oh, my God. Carly said, "When I was born, I had multiple rows of baby teeth that all had to be extracted. My dentist told my parents I was like a shark. I had teeth grow in the roof of my mouth, and they all had to be removed. I think by the time I was 12, I had 15 to 18 teeth extracted. My parents still call me the shark." If we didn't have modern medicine, she would look crazy.
And also, maybe the song is written about her.
Baby shark.
Shark. Nope.
Shutting that down.
All right, let's do a few more.
Randy said, "When I was 21 and in college, I was friends with someone who, unbeknownst to me, murdered our coworker. I was in his home for a party while his body was hidden in a bathtub. A movie was later made about these events."
Wait,
Randy was 21 and in college and was friends with the person who murdered their coworker. And Randy was over at their house when the body was hidden in the house.
The killer next door. They're just one of us. Katie said, "When I was in college, Owen Wilson stopped me on the streets of New York and asked me if I was free that night." She said, "In retrospect, I definitely think that he thought that I was a lady of the evening." Okay, I know. I personally know what Katie looks like, and she's so freaking cute. Owen Wilson probably was like, "Let me go out with this cute girl tonight." I don't think he thought that you were a sex worker.
A lady of the night. In the same vein, Stephanie says that Marcia Cross told her that she had cute little hands.
Marcia Cross?
Marcia Cross, redhead. Probably has to sign those forms.
Oh, the actress Marcia Cross. So Frankie, you guys may know him as the author of Rhodey Ho Ho Ho, our OG Hallmark plotline submitted by a listener. His great-great uncle invented the ice cream cone, and he said, "I don't even like ice cream that much."
That's insane.
Da-da.
One more. This is my favorite. Amanda said, "I ran over a mattress on the highway with my small ass Hyundai and got stuck."
You know, every time I see somebody driving with a mattress on the roof of their car, I always wonder.
You get stuck because it's like the same height as the bottom of the small car.
Oh my God.
You're stuck.
I mean, if you were driving a car, Bethany, and you had a mattress on top and the mattress just flew off, would you stop and go back or just be like, "Well, there goes that mattress"?
If it was wrapped in plastic, yes. If it was not, no. If I'm just freeballing that mattress, no.
Yeah.
Because now it has like the world's highway grossness on it. Would you?
I would probably, I don't know, I would pull over and call the police, I think, because I'd be afraid of a car accident.
Oh, see, I didn't even think about that.
Like, what if a motorcycle comes up and it, like, hits the mattress and then it springs into the air?
Oh, see, I wasn't even thinking about, like, the welfare of the people. I was just thinking about, what if I take the mattress back?
I once very, not very well, tied a mattress to the roof of my car.
Yeah.
And I had to hold, I, like, was out the window holding it on. It was a group effort.
Yeah. Some of my fondest memories are like your janky ass moving times where just you're doing your best. My brother-in-law had all of my belongings on an uncovered trailer, just sort of squeaking behind the car, taking turns a little bit too fast.
Oh,
we made it.
Can we do one more?
One more.
This is from Christina.
Okay.
"I have a friend who works in a funeral home. She needed help with doing hair for 2 clients. So
dead bodies.
Dead bodies.
Okay.
And so twice now I've done deceased women's hair.
I would love to do that.
You think it would be creepy, but it wasn't. I was super respectful and told both the women that I was sorry that they had passed and I hope that they're at peace now. I have no training in this at all. I'm just really good at doing hair and was helping a friend out.
I would love to do that. I'm jealous. Because
really?
I think there's an initial like, factor. And then I think you quickly get used to it. I've said this before, I would love to like help with a dead body.
We need to find somebody who is like a mortician.
Yeah.
So like interview them on this podcast so we can ask some questions.
Definitely.
If you are a mortician, please email us at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, totally. Kathleen.
Yes.
What did you learn this week?
I will tell you. This also comes from my cat calendar.
Okay.
Every couple days they have a little section called According to Science.
Oh, According to Science.
Yeah. When I peel back like the, you know, the cat picture with the number of the day on it. Anyway, males are more susceptible to flu than females.
Cats?
No,
humans.
Multiple studies have suggested wider susceptibility of males than females of multiple species to common viruses and bacterial infections. A 2015 study in the American Journal of Physiology hypothesized that estrogen compounds found at higher levels in women than men make it harder for flu viruses to infect individuals.
Well, then why was I getting the flu all the time?
Did you get your flu shot?
Yeah, every year.
And you got the flu?
Twice.
You must have gotten the strain that wasn't covered that year. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
So I learned about just how toxic your nail polish is.
Ooh,
don't tell me. I know, it's awful. And I figured this out when I was looking at a review on this one nail polish that I was using. And someone said it made my nail beds burn. And then I looked into it and I realized that there's like formaldehyde in a lot of the nail polishes that we use. And so I went through all of my nail polish last night and we got a bunch like at our old job. We got a bunch of stuff for free, including nail polish. So there are a bunch of brands that like I don't normally buy, but I had.
Yeah.
And almost all of them had these like 3 or 5 ingredients that are really bad for you, including formaldehyde.
Ew.
So I threw away all of them and now I'm using this brand called Zoya. There's a bunch of other brands that you can use.
I've heard of Zoya.
Yeah, they don't have these like tall.
Bethany.
Decline.
You're that person in the movie theater.
Decline. Edit.
No, leave it this in.
So some of the ingredients are like toluene, formaldehyde, DBP, and camphor, which are, some of those are carcinogens. So like Zoya doesn't have them, and there's other brands like Ayla, LVX that don't have them. But it just is worth looking into your nail polish and seeing in brands like Essie.
Yeah.
They have it.
Yeah. You know, I have this huge box of like nail polishes basically from when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
I should probably go through them. Some of them are bad right now and they're just taking up space.
Yes.
So maybe that's like a good housekeeping thing for everyone to do this weekend.
Yeah. So just, yeah, take a look at your nail polishes and look at the ingredients and make sure that they don't have any of that bad stuff in them.
Mm.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. I think we need it this week. Kathleen, where can people find you on social meds?
I am at WebGirlKathleen on everything. Bethany, where can people find you on social meds?
I'm so ashamed that I just said social meds. I'm sorry for that.
No.
I officially apologize for that.
I'm standing your social meds.
Don't ever say that. You can find me on Twitter at Radio Bethany, on Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. There's a lot of very lovely people in there.
You can send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to send us some snail mail, you can do so at an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
You can also call us via telephone and leave us a voicemail, 917-994-0353.
All right, Taste Buds, in our show notes, we're leaving links to where you can find our merch. It's also on our Instagram link, so you can check it out there. But, you know, DFTBA, give that a search.
Totally.
In the recent weeks, we're going to be relaunching our website with a blog and some other features. So if there's anything specific that you want to see, please send us an email and let us know. Also, we're considering doing a live show again.
Yeah!
So if you want us to come to your city, send us an email and we'll take like a general consensus of how many cities, you know.
Yeah. And we really haven't even talked about this off the air. We literally are just saying this now.
Yeah. Maybe like Ohio.
Sure.
And like maybe
Minneapolis, maybe Pennsylvania, like Philly,
and then like New Jersey,
maybe
Florida,
Georgia, Hawaii,
Iowa, Alaska,
Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine.
I doubt we have one listener in Alaska.
If we have one listener in Alaska, please, if you are that listener, email us and say, I am from Alaska and I listen to you in Alaska. That should be your subject line.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Leave a phone number so we can call you and ask you some questions.
Yeah.
All right, taste buds. Here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Alex from San Diego. A couple of episodes ago, Bethany was talking about Britney Spears' Instagram, and I have just been going down a rabbit hole of Britney Spears and all of her very bizarre posts. I love her so much, and I just really hope she's happy and doing well. But I just feel like we need to investigate a little deeper. I also found another podcast called On Britney's Gram, and I've been obsessed with it now. I love you girls, and also love our taste buds from the Facebook fan group. They're amazing.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Taste Bud Brittany. This week's episode, you guys talked about family members that died in weird ways, and I actually had two family members that died from swallowing various items. My grandpa died when I was 7 from swallowing a toothpick. He ate something that had a toothpick in it that he didn't take out, and it punctured him internally, and then when he was having surgery, he bled out. So make sure that you look in your food for toothpicks before you swallow them whole. And then a couple years ago, one of my uncles died from swallowing a bread tie. Not quite sure on the details of how that happened, but apparently it's a thing in our family that we need to be more careful about what we're eating. So yeah.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany, it's Taste Bud Kim. I just want to really thank Bethany for the topic that she had on the most recent podcast about couples living apart and kind of normalizing it, and that sharing that that's what her and Dennis are doing, and just sharing so many other people that do that. I'm currently in a fairly long relationship, and we live about 4 hours apart right now. I live in Virginia. He lives in North Carolina. I think part of the reason we're so happy is that we're 4 hours apart. I mean, I would love to live closer, but I'm, you know, of course, like anyone, I think forward to, you know, what if one day we end up getting married? I don't know how well we're going to do living together, just because, like, in our personal life, we have such different lives, and I almost think that it would be better for us to live apart. And so I just want to thank you for bringing this up and talking about it on the podcast and just kind of saying that this is a normal thing that other people do. So I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Taste Bud Kim from Florida. I was catching up on some episodes, listening to, I think it was a bonus episode about opera. I was coming out of an office, and everything was on blast. And this is when Bethany starts singing Vagina. And there was a dude that was standing right next to me, and he heard Bethany singing Vagina. And it was really, really, really uncomfortable and awkward, but it was hilarious, and I thank you. Hope you guys have a great day. Love you. Bye.
Hey, ladies. My name is Charlie, and I just had a kind of weird thing happen to me. So I was going for a jog in my neighborhood, and I crossed the street, not the crosswalk, because the crosswalk doesn't align with street signals for some reason. So I'm jogging across the street, and this woman in a car rolls down her window and yells at me. I had my earbuds in. I was listening to your podcast, so I'm not really sure what she said. It kind of sounded like she said, girlfriend? Maybe she was cheering me on because I'm a full-figured lady. All right. Thank you, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Bethany. This is Sarah from Des Moines, Iowa. I just want to let you know I'm in my car. I am just about to go caucus. It's Monday. It's caucus day in Iowa. And I wanted to let you guys know that I would not have the courage to go do it without the Facebook group, the Acquired Taste Facebook group. I was so anxious and nervous about going because it's different than a primary. You don't just walk in, have your ballot, and then leave. You are surrounded by people in groups, and people, like, try to convince you to join their side if your party doesn't have enough votes. I had so many words of encouragement from the Facebook group that I'm doing it. I'm in my car. I'm just about to go, and I will let you guys know how it went when it is all over. Yay!